You're listening to the public feed of Carefree Highway Revisited, which includes only a portion of this conversation. To hear the complete discussion, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or see the show notes for details.
The first guest of the evening is truly a poet. He's an artist. He is a friend and an inspiration to anyone who I think who has ever played the guitar or tried to write poetry. Would you please welcome Gordon Lightfoot?
Travel with me in few chews into a land of notions. Through the ruins of yesteryear, set your mind in motion. Be beside me, win or lose, I will not forsake thee. I must do, so must you. Now, will you go with me? This is Carefree Highway Revisited, the show that celebrates Gordon Lightfoot's music song by song, a proud member of the That's Not Canon podcast network, and this is our opening of season four. I'm your host, Mike Messner, and with me today is a fellow Lightfoot fan and a good friend making her sixth appearance on the show from Kippewa, Quebec, Adele Chalifou. Adele, thank you so much. It's great to see you again.
Hi, Mike. I can't believe it's six. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is amazing. Now, you wanted to talk about Whisper My Name, which is, I don't want to say it's obscure, but it's certainly not as well known in the Lightfoot canon for reasons that we'll get into a little bit later. I know that for me, it's a very mature approach to love and relationships. I mean, this is not someone who is gaga about someone else. It's hard for me sometimes to realize this is the same man who wrote Approaching Lavender. He's making sure he can trust this person before he makes some sort of commitment to her. Probably being cautious, and maybe that's something that comes with age. That's why I like the song so much. But why did you want to talk about it today?
I think for me, this song, it's funny you say that it's lesser known because I guess it is more of a deep cut, but for me, it's one of my top favorites of his. And I think it's just such a beautiful love song, and it's set to such beautiful imagery. Like, Gordon's so masterful at doing, weaving this beautiful web of story and imagery. So it was just, again, it's just one of my favorites, and it's just so beautiful. It's so poetic. I think it should be more well known than it is.
You said it was a deep cut. It's on Dream Street Rose. It's the fifth song on side one. So it doesn't get deeper than that. It's very economical. It is very poetic. Of course, it has great images. Wasn't released as a single. We'll talk more about that later. Do you have any anecdotes about the song or why you came to like it? Is there a particular memory you associate with the song?
Nothing really that stands out. My family and I live in the wilderness and we're bush loving folk. And it just really brings to mind the forest and the trees and the all that beautiful imagery, nature imagery that Gordon Lightfoot is so iconically known for. And I think that's probably why I connected to it, like all my other songs that we've talked about. It's just, to me, this is quintessentially Lightfoot. It's so poetic and just whimsical, but it is, like you said, very mature. And it's very deep when you read the lyrics and you give it a chance.
And it does, I think, show that he had matured also as a songwriter. I mean, he was probably 40, 41 when this happened. And he's been through his relationship with Britta, of course, and now the relationship with Kathy Smith has ended. He has relationships and he'll end up getting married a second and then a third time. But he does have a view on love that he didn't have and couldn't have the same view when he was in his 20s. It's just part of life. You mentioned that you live in the wilderness, and that's something you and I have talked about a lot. Is there a particular setting that you could listen to this song that would be ideal for you? Or is this one that you could listen anywhere, anytime, under any circumstances?
I definitely think I could listen to this anywhere. For me, it's a very comforting song. So it kind of conjures up thoughts of my own life, maybe my own husband, or just being comfortable at home with your family, with the person you love. So for me, I could listen to it anywhere. I could listen to it in a beautiful setting like I'm in right now with the trees are changing all their colors because it's fall. I could listen to this on a summer day. I could listen to it in the car. I could listen to it kind of contemplative in a quiet moment. I can listen to this anywhere.
I would only want to listen to it because I'm one who gets really caught up in lyrics and in really powerful orchestration. And of course, the lyrics are beautiful, but to me, they don't demand my attention the same way that The Wreck or The Last Time I Saw Her might demand, where, okay, you drop everything else and you have to just focus on the song. This is one song that I would love to have playing in the background while I'm grading, doing stuff for school, or maybe having a meal, because the lyrics are pleasant and straightforward enough so that I'm not wondering about, oh, wow, what does he mean by this? Or thinking about the tattletale sound from the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Okay, so what does he mean by a tattletale sound? So they're lovely without being, they don't kidnap me, I guess is what I'm saying. This is also somewhat of a rarity in that I cannot find anywhere any stories about how this song got written. It's not mentioned in the Nicholas Jennings book at all. I don't think it was mentioned on the songbook liner notes. So I'm wondering, do you have an angle on how the thing got written?
I have no idea. Like with so many of his songs, they're just kind of phantom-like and they just kind of appear out of his spectacular brain. So I don't know. The only thing I do know is that he was with Kathy Coonley at the time. Yeah. They were kind of on and off. So that's the only thing that I know about this. I couldn't find anything about it. So it just will go through history as just being one of those many mysterious Lightfoot songs to me.
And a beautiful one at that. Well, then we're stumped on how it got written, and sadly, Gordon is not here to tell us, so we're just going to leave it as a mystery.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the lyrics now. I said that they were intriguing without being absolutely mesmerizing, but there are a few things that I think here are especially intriguing. Travel with me if you choose into a land of notions. Now, notions are ideas. So he's telling her that the time with him, they're going to be doing a fair amount of travel through the cranial swamp, that he's a very thoughtful guy and he expects that she will respect that and that it will also be a thoughtful relationship. It's not going to be a surface level thing. It's going to be an intellectual love as well as a heartfelt love. Through the ruins of yesteryear, set your mind in motion. And I thought to myself, is he really saying that his past had been a ruin or a failure? Or is he saying that it's just like anything that's very, very old, it's going to kind of fall apart like the Greek ruins or something like that? What do you think he meant by there?
You know, it could be taken so many different ways. It could be about his past. It could be potentially a lot of his relationships were on and off, on and off, on and off. So potentially that could be also what it is referring to, maybe making a new start. That's how I would take it, or that he's talking about maybe his past mistakes as well, or his past relationships of yesteryear.
Yeah, and he, as he said very openly, he certainly made his mistakes in relationships with women. That may be what he's talking about, because I can't imagine he'd describe his career as being a ruin. I mean, he's been, you know, marvelously successful. And by 1979, he'd established himself as being a superstar. Okay, after Endless Wire, I understand that there was a decline in sales, but his artistry certainly never declined. Be beside me, win or lose, I will not forsake thee. So he's committing. And he's asking the same for her. And then the most intriguing line in the song, I must do, so must you. Now, will you go with me? Now, I got to think to myself, do what? Or is he talking about, I must be sufficient. I must suffice. This is the best you get.
Could he be talking about commitment? I know he talks about commitment in relationships was kind of on and off. And I know at one point he says that he thought of marriage as kind of like an entrapment. So maybe he means I must settle down and commit, and you have to as well to make this work.
It could also be that when we think about traditional wedding vows, I mean, you say, I do. I don't know if he ever proposed marriage to Kathy Connelly, but it's certainly possible that that's playing into his mind because he, Absolutely. You know, had taken the vow before and he knows that line. I will build a home for you to keep you warm each winter, lemon lilies at your door to give you in September. So he's offering stability for her, which is something that she clearly values. He doesn't live a stable life as a professional musician, so that's kind of an interesting thing there. But again, by the time he's 40, he's in a position now where he probably could settle down if he truly wanted to.
Well, that's all the time we have for Here in the Public Feed. If you'd like to hear the rest of this conversation, along with all of our other extended and bonus episodes, become an FM Plus subscriber. Sign up in Apple Podcasts or at fmpods.com. You can see the show notes for details.